We are presently going to take a walk down memory lane, so to speak. Last week, Gary brought the word about the parable of the sower, which his focus was on the sower, but more so focused on the conditions of the soils. And we learned that the conditions of the soils is what? Our hearts. Amen. He pointed out how the enemy comes. The enemy is not just the devil. The enemy is circumstances in our lives. The enemy is the things that the world presents to us. That's the enemy. And we have to understand that this is real. There are realities that go beyond our comprehension. And there are realities that God brings to light to us so we can understand how to grow and how to allow the kingdom to be totally absorbed into us in such a way that it makes a difference in our lives, and that people who are watching us, it will create a thirst. We have to understand that you know, in the challenge that Gary gave us was to look at the condition of our heart. Is it a heart that is compacted and well traveled upon? Has circumstances in our lives been so tough in there that when the word is sown in there, it can't find even a crack to find its way in there? And we understand the enemy comes and he takes that away. Is our lives so challenged in such a way that it's rocky? There's so many rocks in our lives. There's so many things that are happening in our life that we receive the word, but we don't stay after it. We don't give it the place that it needs to be given, and thereby shoots up quickly and dies. And we forget what the word of God says, and we're not consistent. Or even still, when the word is sown, does the circumstances of life, the opinions of people, the hustle and bustle of daily life tend to compete and choke out the word, and thereby we compromise where we are? Or is it that we spend a lot of time in conditioning our heart so that when we come, we can receive the word, and it grows within us in such a way that it is part of us, and now we take on a new life because the kingdom now takes over our lives and is able to direct us and teach us through the Holy Spirit. Well, today I want to take us a little bit further and really deal with the growing seed parable, which is the next parable after that. So if you would turn to Mark 4, 26 through 29, we will begin that. I also want to emphasize it's real important. Gomez touched on it a little bit last week, but it's real important that Jesus said, to you it has been given the keys to understanding these parables. To you it's been given. Not to somebody else. Only to the citizens of the kingdom have these keys been given. And if you can't understand the simplicity of what's being expounded, you won't have the ability to understand any of the other parables and how to apply them to your life so that you can become successful. And it's totally up to you, because as we learned last week, we're the farmer. We're the one preparing our heart. And when we come here, is our hearts prepared properly to receive what is being sowed? I'm the sower, but it's actually Jesus through me that is sowing the seed into the lives. I just get the privilege of having it before everybody else. Amen. Mark 4:26 through 29 says, and he, Christ, says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and raise by day, and a seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. There is so much in these three, four verses that I'm just going to try to really focus on the main objective. Last week, we found out that it is our responsibility to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Amen? Okay. And some of us have really had a tough time in really allowing that Word to really adjust us. But it's not meant to be punishment, because God wants to give us the best seed to produce the abundance that He has promised in our lives. In this parable, what we're going to look at is something a little bit different, but yet is still profound. Jesus was using everyday symbolisms or things that we're accustomed to describe a spiritual reality in the kingdom. Okay? And if we can understand this, since we're not a culture that is full of farmers and stuff, it may be a little perplexing to us, but still, the principles still apply. He illustrates that a man goes out and he sows into a field. We have to understand that field has been prepared. Okay? The farmer went out, he did his job. He prepared the field. And now the sower comes in, and he goes out and he starts sowing seed. Okay? And then he's done sowing his seed. His job is done. Why? Because that's all the sower does, is sow the seed. He does his job. And then he goes to bed, and the next day he gets up, and he starts his day after that job is done, what is common to what his chores are and stuff. And he no longer concerned about the seed. The seed by itself will germinate, will grow roots, it will blast through the soil, and continue to grow by itself. Science today cannot or does not have the ability to explain how this happens. They can explain the process, and we understand the process, but the actual mechanics of how a seed that is dead springs to life and is able to produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I want you to understand, that is not our concern either, how the seed grows. Our concern is, are we sowing that seed? And as a shepherd, we concern ourselves in how we present the seed so that it can find good soil within our hearts, so that you guys can grow. And that's the whole objective here, is for the kingdom of God to grow in you. So that by it growing, you will begin to take some of that seed that is being produced in you, and you sow. You see, Jesus was illustrating not only to us the position of sowing, he was also positioning that in like kind, as he sowed into the disciples, he expects his disciples to continue the sowing process. Okay? And that's just normal, because that's what happens. We're not here forever. And so we're looking for another generation to continue the work, to continue the seed, to continue to sow, but we're not concerned about how it grows. That's not our job. Our job, church, is to sow. It's God's job, and He already knows how it grows. It is He who produces this. It is He who does His job. And as we sow this seed, as it gets into the believer's heart or person's heart, God causes something to happen. And we're not to worry about that. The problem is, and I've seen it, and I'm sure many of you have seen it and experienced it. I'm just as guilty at times. We tend to forget about the job we're supposed to do, and we want to help Daddy. We want to help him. We think it's our job to help Daddy make it very clear to the seed that he's sowing that that heart should receive. That is not our job. What is our job? To sow. That's our job. Say it with me. My job is to sow God's word into the world. That's our job. Real simple. He doesn't need our help. He just needs us to do our job. As we continue on, lost my glasses. We have to understand that the sown seed has a potential. The Word of God has potential. Okay? And as I sow this seed into your life, it's all predicated, that potential is predicated on the type of soil that it's being thrown on. Okay? The seed doesn't realize its potential unless what happens? Unless it finds fertile soil. Once it finds fertile soil, it begins to grow. And a heart that's been prepared to receive the Word of God is the best heart. Hopefully you're here to receive the seed that's being sown right now to help you to understand. And I have additional scriptures that if you want to search out about understanding what God says about us understanding these things. Because it's important that we understand how the kingdom works. It's important for us to understand how God works in the life of people. Our job is to sow the seed. Okay, I'm going to ask, because I don't want you to forget this. I don't want you trying to help Daddy. I want us just to do our job. Friends and Family Day. Pastor Mike reminded us about that. And that is another principle that I will go into a little bit today. Spiritual growth does not occur until something is done with the seed. Let me say that again. Spiritual growth does not occur until something is done with the seed. How do you receive the seed? By faith. How do you grow? By faith. And by implementing what you hear, applying it to your life. It's not enough to hear the word. James says we must also be doers. So there is a correlation that God expects that when I sow this seed, or Pastor Mike sows this seed, or Daniel sows this seed to us, we can receive it because our hearts are right, and we act upon it. Or the key word now is activating by faith what the word is saying to us. Okay? Only then is the potential that's contained within the living Word of God activated in our lives and begins to take over. Okay? Predicated on our heart's condition, predicated on that heart condition that we receive it by faith and act upon it. Very simple. Paul said, I planted Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul planted. He sowed. What did Apollos do? He watered. Watering is reminding. It's just reminding. Oh, I've heard it all before. I'm reminding you. Pastor, you know, I know this. I'm reminding you. Why am I reminding you? I'm reminding you because I don't see you activating your faith to allow the seed that's been sowed into your heart come alive. But God gives the increase. God causes it to grow. Real simple. But yet we turn things in to make it say something that it doesn't say. And we try to deny the truth behind it. Or the principle that we're to live by. God instructs us that he'll teach us little by little, but we'll grow in the principles as we activate them into our lives. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." What does that have to do? The condition of our heart. I can believe in God. But I'm instructed by the Lord to know the tree by the fruit it produces. If you have no fruit being produced in your life, it tells me all about your condition of your heart. I'm not to judge. But sometimes we need people to help us start removing the junk in our lives so that that word comes into us and finds good soil, finds root. We want it to stay. We want it to grow strong. And of course we hear stuff like, "Well, I haven't had time to do this. I've been pretty busy. My spouse doesn't want me to do this." It has nothing to do with your circumstances, has nothing to do with your spouse, if you're married, or the people that you associate with. Has nothing to do with it, because the responsibility is still bared upon your heart. Spiritual growth is only realized by the passing of time and faithfully applying kingdom principles. The seed grows with God's help, not ours. And we can see this basic principle. If you look at Genesis 1, verses 11 through 13, you can see this process. Sowing requires me to speak the word of God. Condition of the heart requires the farmer, or us, to remove all that junk that would impede the growth that God is desirous for each and every one of us. That's his plan. He has a plan for our lives. What's our job? Sow. To sow. All of us to sow. I'm going to ask this again and again. I'm expecting everyone to understand what our job is. Well, I don't know the word of God. Got to get in it. I just don't have time. You got to remove the rocks. You got to remove the stones. You got to remove the weeds. My Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by just working or taking care of his kids or serving in a ministry. Doesn't mean anything if you have no relationship with him. You see, You get to be in ministry when you do the basics. You don't get into ministry because you have an ability or something. You're in it because now the basics are part of you. They're not to be substitutionary to your relationship. They're supposed to enhance the relationship. So we have to apply the principles. Not only clear the junk out of our lives, when we receive the word, we have to receive it by faith, and then we have to apply it. Just for today, right? No. Every day. God's going to cause it to grow, but our job is to remove the stuff that would try to crowd in and kill the seed of God. You have to realize that His Word is divine. And our spirits need His Word. That's what feeds our spirit. When you become a new creation, your spirit is regenerated. You need to feed your spirit just like you need to feed your flesh. Even more so. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I'm trying to get you to understand. I understand. I really do. Where you are, I was. And I'm exhorting you to make application. Don't just be a hearer of the word only. Lest you be deceived. We're living in a time where great delusion is coming upon the land. And truth is being squashed. The Word of God doesn't change. God doesn't change. It just enlightens us to its reality and how to operate. You see, we're no longer citizens of the darkness. We're now been brought into His marvelous light. And with that comes responsibility in all our lives. We are responsible to God to implement what He says. But we can't implement that which we don't understand. And so it takes time. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why we have training to help your understanding. Help expand us. You know, the more we sit and meditate on the Word of God, the more alive it becomes. How many times have you read the Scriptures? You read it 4 or 5 times, and all of a sudden you bang, the Holy Spirit reveals a truth, and you're like, wow, I never saw that before. That's the living Word of God. That is that seed that has already been in there, now burst through the soil, and now we have the blade. Did the farmer do anything? No. But as we continue to develop this relationship with Jesus, it grows. And now that it becomes a stalk. It begins to flower. It produces seed after its kind. And we're not to eat that seed. We're supposed to sow the seed. And many of us are guilty of eating our seed. We have to understand growth is slow, almost imperceptible in its progress. It takes time. All of us grow at different rates. I marvel at the kids. I see Josiah at 18 months. Gosh, this little guy is so on fire, full of energy and stuff. I look at my grandson, 3 years old, and this kid, you know, the Torah that he was creating in his terrific twos. And we've seen it where mom. When he hit 3, that changed. He's now back to his old self. And it's like, what happened here, Lord? We found out that his 2-year-old molars were coming in, but he wasn't able to communicate to us that he was in pain. So he wanted mom until they broke through. And now he's back to himself again. And it's like, yes, I love this God. You're so good. You're teaching me something. My heart, I want my heart to not be crowded with stuff. I want to be teachable. I want to continue to learn who my Father is and what He's capable of doing, and marvel at what He does do. You know, nature has so much to teach us about the spiritual realm, and that's why Jesus used natural things to help us comprehend spiritual realities. I don't know how the kingdom is growing in your heart. I can only allow the kingdom of God to grow in my heart. And what He gives to me, I want to give it away. And giving that stuff away turns into generosity, hospitality. I mean, this is the fruit of the kingdom that we're talking about. Love. And in the past, you guys say, oh, Pastor, I love you. No, you don't. I would say that. No, you don't. Because our love is conditional. God's love is so much higher. The agape love is unconditional. He loves us whether we're good or bad. He loves us whether we're rich or poor. He loves Pastor Mike because he's got a better tan than I do. Awesome. What is our job? Sowing. If we don't know how to sow, I will tell you the definition of sowing again. It's to speak the word of God. If you look at Genesis 1, you will see God spoke. It was, and He said it was good. I'm heading on into something. I want to teach you the principle of sowing and reaping, which is in every area of our lives. And we'll hit that next week. But understand, as we sow, it continues to grow. It continues to produce. As we begin to remove the junk that's in our lives, no longer paying attention to the situations that are in there, because our situation will change, our environment will change, our emotions will change, but God's word will never change. So it's important, as eloquently as Pastor Mike has stated, we have to guard our words. Because once we speak it, we give life to it. I appreciate this man of God. He straightened me out when I was attacked and not where I needed to be. That's love. That's telling me something I need to hear, not what I want to hear. That's love. It helped me take a hold of the horns of the altar and cry out to God. I don't want to be this way any longer. I want You to revitalize me. And God speaks. And it is. And I'm here because of that. How a seed grows in the human heart is a mystery. It is still a mystery to us. We don't know how God does it. But He doesn't need our help to produce it. He just needs us to sow the seed, okay? When we speak to people who are not spiritual, do we withhold the seed? No. His desire is all men become saved. That's why He died. He died for just me. He died for the world. His desire, His heart's desire, is the salvation of everyone. The final thing in this parable is about the harvest. See, we want to help Daddy in that too. I was raised on lifestyle evangelism. And part of the things that they taught me was that you preach the word, you sow it, and then you harvest immediately. Because you don't want to lose that soul. Because, you know, they're teetering one way or another. And you want to bring them into the kingdom. I laugh at it now because that's not how it's supposed to happen. Not according to God's word. We're to sow the word and let it go forth. Our job is to help each other remove the obstacles, remove the things that are in our lives so that God's word can find good soil and begin to take root after germination. This is so remedial. But we have to understand that there is an end to all of this. And Jesus says that at the end, when the seed has grown and it's full of fruit and it has ripened, what happens next? The man takes the sickle and puts it in to start harvesting. Harvest time in those days was very, very critical because you had a limited amount of time to bring in the harvest or it would spoil in the fields. That word, put in the sickle, refers to additional reapers going out. We're no longer sowing the seed. We're now reaping. Is that our job? No, it's not. It's not our job. Jesus says it's the angels. Our job is to sow the seed. At the end of the age, the angels will come and harvest. We're to continue to sow the seed until the end. That's our job. Their job is to help minister to the heirs of salvation and bring in the harvest. Now in here we see that one of the servants says to the master, someone has sowed wheat with tares. Turn to Matthew 13. I'm a little ahead of myself. Matthew 13 verse 24 through 30. Jesus is speaking here, and he talks about the end of the age. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And Jesus spoke another parable to them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has come and done this. And the servant said to him, do you want us to then go and gather them up? But he said, no, at least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus is saying that he sowed. We sow. Does anybody know what a tare is and what it looks like? A tear, go ahead, Nolan. What's the difference between a tear and wheat? Now, how are you able to determine which is which? What you're saying is true, but there's one characteristic. You're right, Dan. The stalk is not flexible. Wheat is flexible that when a storm comes in, it bends and springs back up. A tare looks just like wheat, but the stalk is so rigid, so hard-hearted, that when the storms of life comes, it breaks it over. And Jesus is saying at the end of the age, when the harvest is ready, and we shouldn't be praying, come Lord Jesus. We should be praying, Lord, We need more laborers to sow the seed, to go into the harvest. We want to continue this harvest. We know that the end is almost here. We know that he's coming. But are we doing our job? That's the question. Are we sowing Father's word into people's lives uncompromisingly? Do we say one thing and live a different way? Because here it shows the dichotomy of a wheat and tares. They look alike, they smell alike, they do the same things, but when the storms of life come in, they're different. It comes back to the condition of our hearts. Most of you have been here since the beginning. Some of you have just got here. And we're revisiting this because I'm rewatering. I'm watering the seed that has been sowed years ago to remind us that we need to sow. And we need to sow the word in us first. That's Jesus sowing into our patch of ground. Jesus says that at the end of the age, he's going to preside over the harvest. And he's going to send the angels forth and we're all going to be gathered up. And a lot of us live for the rapture. And I don't want us to be concerned about the rapture. The rapture will come when God says it comes. What we need to be concerned about, are we doing our job? Are we inviting people to become part of the family of God? Are we sowing the seeds of God's love, telling them how much he loves them, how much he demonstrates his love by dying on a cross because we're stiff-necked, rebellious people on our best day. And because of what Christ has done, we're here. And we want to take and sow seeds into other people's lives so that they can hear the goodness of God. The grain is the believers. The wheat is the believers. Those who have opened up their heart, removed the obstacles, you know, the pressures of life, you know, the rocks that are obstacles that seem to be so insurmountable. They're mountains when really they're only molehills. And that causes us to become afraid of stepping out and applying God's word by faith. The other end is the tares are going to be gathered up. They are all those who heard the word of God and didn't change. Didn't find any seed in their life. They knew better than God. I don't need God. On that last day, you know, I'll commit to Jesus Christ. That last day, you don't want to get to. Because so much turmoil is going to be in there that I don't know if any of you have watched or been part of a harvest team, but it is violent. There's a lot of stuff that happens that we just take for granted. We just think that it comes in and we just do this. It's all smooth and there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. And there's a lot of varmints that are in the weeds, in the wheat, in the fields. And those individuals who are the tares, who don't apply the word of God, who live their life, Jesus said, will lose their life. Those who want to save their life but die will gain eternal life. I'm not here to judge where you're at with the Lord. I'm here to tell you that the harvest is coming. But our job is to sow seed. I've learned that we're not to harvest in the midst of that. I've learned to love God's people. Love people. And I'm not afraid to tell them the truth. I'm here to exhort you that if you've allowed the opinions of men or philosophy and stuff, you need to divorce yourself from that stuff. Get all that material and put it in the trash or burn it. If your situation is that it seems perilous, life circumstances are choking you to death, the only thing I can tell you is go to the Word of God and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Your obedience is imperative to your spiritual growth. If there is many rocks in your life that seem so insurmountable, we are here to help. We want to sow good seed into your life, but if all you do is look at the situation and don't look at God as the solution to all of this, you will be where you are because you have not taken your faith, got rid of the junk to allow the Word of God to find good soil. My desire is that you step up to the plate and do what Father says to do. In understanding these two parables, what is our job? To sow the seed. Sow seeds of kindness. Sow seeds of goodness. Inviting people. Be inconvenienced for their sake. It's an opportunity for you to sow seed. I don't know the Word of God. Then you need to remove the obstacles because it's imperative to your spiritual growth to sit and drink of the milk of God. Reading the Word is just the milk of God. Studying the Word of God is where we get meat. We get potatoes. And if we're lucky, some gravy too. It's still your choice. It's always been your choice. I just want to bring clarity and understanding so that we're all on the same page and we not stand before the Lord at that time and He says go and separate and all this other stuff. Pastor never told me. I never knew. Jesus isn't going, He's going to deal with me doubly. And I hope He finds me faithful in dispensing and discharging of my responsibilities. We're not perfect. But one thing we have a heart for God and we have a heart for you to succeed, be successful. And it starts by taking that measure of faith and say, God, I'm going to believe you and step out of the boat of your comfort zone, just like Peter did. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your parables, oh God. We thank you, God, that that you show us, oh God, very clearly to expand our understanding to how your word works, our responsibility is to remove the obstacles, to prepare the soil for your word. That we come and anticipate that even when we get together, good things. The word being sown to us or we sow the seed into others' lives because in due season you tell us if we don't faint, we will receive a harvest. God, I pray for streams that we sow the seed that in due season we will reap the harvest that you have promised us, that we will meet the objectives and the goals that we have set forth for this year, and that when we do, we will just give you praise and glory and honor and not try to understand or make a system out of this. You've already got a system. You just want us to work according. So, Father, I ask that you bless your people in their week this, using the opportunity.